You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Thanks for Remembering. I read a story about a man in Phoenix who called his son in New York and he says, I hate to ruin your day, but I have to tell you that your mother and I are divorcing. 45 years of misery is enough. Pop, what are you talking about? The son screamed. He said, well, we can't stand the sight of each other any longer, the old man said. We're sick and tired of each other, and I'm sick of talking about this, so you call your sister in Chicago and tell her, and he hangs up. Frantic, the son calls his sister, who explodes on the phone. Like Hector getting a divorce, she shouts, I'll take care of this. She calls Phoenix immediately and screams at the old man, you are not getting divorced. Don't you do a single thing till I get there. I'm calling my brother back, and we'll be there tomorrow. Until then, don't do a thing. Do you hear me? And she hangs up. The man hangs up his phone, turns to his wife. Okay, he says, they're coming for Thanksgiving and paying their own way. The first Thanksgiving meal, believe it or not, is recorded in the Bible. Some people refer to it as the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper, communion, or the Eucharist. And the word Eucharist, believe it or not, comes from the word Eucharisteo, which means to be grateful, to feel thankful, to give thanks. And I want to emphasize the word feel thankful. When they gave thanks, and even when we read the scripture in a minute where it says that Jesus gave thanks, it's different to say thank you for something. But when you say thank you with some feeling, because something has happened that is very powerful and very meaningful, even thank you changes the way it is said. Now I want you to turn to Luke 22, and we'll look at 1 Corinthians as well. But let's look at Luke 22, and this is in a number of places in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Corinthians. We're going to do the Luke 22 today, 14 and following. Without going too far back, the Passover meal is celebrated because when the angel of death passed over the people of God in Egypt, the ones that obeyed, the ones that took the lamb and killed it and put the blood on the doorpost on the outside of the house, the blood was not for them to see, it was for God to see. It was for that angel to come by and said, those people get it. Those people have obeyed. Those people have done what God said to do. And when death passed over and the firstborn was killed in every home, every stable, everywhere, the firstborn was killed, those people were spared. The firstborn in that house was spared because they had obeyed God and put the blood on the doorpost of their home. The Passover now for us represents the fact that this blood of the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world has been placed on the doorpost of our hearts. So that when God looks at me, he doesn't just see me anymore. He sees a life, not just the doorpost covered, but an entire life covered by the blood of Jesus. And the only way, and I think some people say, well, it's offensive. You shouldn't talk about blood. People don't understand this. Why is the Bible so gory? And it sounds like cannibalism. All that notwithstanding, you got nothing without the blood. And the reason it is so important to do communion together, it is so important to participate in this, is that it is vital to our Christian faith to remember what it took to get us into this family. And even a mom, if you talk to a woman, my wife's had three kids and, you know, I was there, saw them all make their exit. You know, I just, as a man, it's not even possible. And you try to talk about it and say, well, do you remember? And certainly they can remember. But the pain that you go through to get a child on the planet, somehow it goes away and you just keep going on with your life. And I don't sit around thinking about my mom and the pain she went through. But if I stop and remember seeing it done and then think about the fact that my mom went through some anguish. And when she had me, there wasn't a lot of great stuff going on to prevent pain. But you stop and think, and to say to my mom before she died, you know, thank you, thanks for having me, just simple stuff like that, it brings it back to your mind. You think, somebody went through something. Jesus didn't have a baby. He was the baby that came and was had. and died, lived this life, died on the cross, shed his blood, was buried and raised from dead. For what? All of it for us. So it is inexcusable, really, not to think about it, not to remember. And he literally institutes this thing so that we won't forget. The problem is, some people forget to remember. People talk about, we've got a guy in the church, he has not spent Thanksgiving with his son for 18 years, I think it was. Had been in prison all these years. And his son called the other day and said, "Daddy, where are we doing Thanksgiving this week?" Now you say, "Well, he's going to be busy that day." You know what? He ain't going to be busy that day. He's going to get to be with his boy. A meal, whether we do it this way, passing a wafer and a cup, or we sit down together, it's the deal. And it's the thing that we are supposedly waiting for our whole lives, for Jesus when he said in the scripture, you know, "I won't drink of this fruit of the vine until I do it one day with you in heaven." There's a day coming, we're going to sit down and have a meal. I just think it's one of those things we ought to practice and spend time together and just do nothing but remember. This is not some ceremonial thing we do. The baptism, we do baptisms around here. Somebody who's become a Christian, after you become a Christian, you get baptized. And I'm telling you, it's one of those deals. I sit down with people getting baptized and I say, "This is not going to make any sense till it's over, but you have no idea how meaningful this act is going to be, this thing we do." And they get done, there's weeping, and we're hugging each other, and all of a sudden it makes sense. It's the same way when you stop and remember and you go back. It's like looking at pictures of your wedding, and you go, "Wow, what was I thinking?" You know, or something like that. You remember, though, and it brings back these feelings, and these feelings are tied to this word Eucharisteo that really means giving thanks, but giving thanks with some feeling. And I pray that we all, at some point along the journey, get to the place where when it comes to giving thanks, that it is not just, "Okay, thanks God for sending your son to die for me. I know it all happened. Thanks." But where there is some passion, where there is some real gratitude from the heart, not just from the head, in regard to this. Luke 22:14, when the hour had come, so this Passover meal, they've done a few of these before, but this one's different because it's the last one. They've celebrated Passover undoubtedly together as disciples. They were together 3 years, and now here's this last meal that he would share with them. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them with fervent desire, and this word fervent desire is a word that is translated usually in a negative sense. It's a lust. It's this passionate, overwhelming thing. This is not, "Well, I'd like to have dinner with you." It is something he is feeling from his innermost being. "I've desired with fervent desire. I have desired to eat this Passover," and look at this, "with you." Jesus didn't need to have dinner with them in order to die on the cross, but yet he does. And I know if you're stuck in a cell somewhere in a prison, or you're off in some godforsaken country, it seems alone, and you stop along the way and take some bread and a cup and celebrate it on your own. If you got to do that, you got to do that. You know what? We don't have to do that. And there is something about doing this together. You can do church if you're stuck by yourself, but God never intended for this philosophy of, "Well, I can worship God just as well out under a tree on a golf course." You know what? You can't back that up with Scripture. You can worship him anywhere, but he says, "Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together." We need to get together. We need to be together. We need to stay together, because on our own, we will drift. And on this night, this day, Jesus said, "I've got to do this dinner with you." And he wanted to do it so bad and loved him so much that he let Judas be a part of it, who in the middle of the meal would betray him. Still loving him, still knowing he was there, but yet wanted to share that evening with these 12. "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and he gave thanks. Now I got to tell you that in the midst of a dinner like this, you say, "Well, there's food and he's thanking God for the food." I don't think that's all there is about it. There is something about giving thanks. And this meal of all meals, when he is demonstrating to them that the cup would represent his blood, the bread would represent his body, and he's thanking God for these elements, and he's thanking God in general for what's going to happen, something terrible is about to happen to him. How do you thank God when you're about to use elements to demonstrate the fact that you'll die? And one of the great challenges in my own discipleship process was when Claude, who discipled me for a long time, and I've shared this many times, but we hit a massive impasse when he read me 1 Thessalonians 5:18. He said, "Read that." And I said, "All right. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And he said, here's God's will for your life. Give thanks in everything. And we started going round and round. I said, Claude, I'm not doing that. I said, that is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense. I don't believe that. I said, I'm not thanking God. And I started listing off all these bad things. Thanking him for the good stuff is easy. You got food, thank you God for food. But when the food represents your death, how are you going to thank him for that? And here's what Claude said to me. I said, I'm not thanking God for bad things. He said, you will. And he let it go. And I lived it my way for months. And kept hitting my head against the wall. And I'd get in a bad situation. Something bad would happen. And I'd get all worried or complain or be mad at God or whatever. And get all stirred up. And it didn't work. And I kept watching him thanking God and praising God and having joy. And even though he had problems, he didn't react or respond the same way I did. So finally I went, okay, maybe you're right. I still don't believe it. In my head I do, in my heart I don't. I don't get it, but he challenged me to do it by faith. And in those moments when something goes wrong, just to say, and I literally would do this. I'd say, God, I don't get it. I'm not even sure I believe it, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to thank you and just take a step of faith into nothing. And all of a sudden, some terrible thing would happen. And I'd say, Father, I thank you that this has happened. And I'm going to tell you guys, it'll hit you just like that. Some joy will come over you and you'll think, what the heck? Where did this come from? And why didn't I do this decades ago? Jesus demonstrated, even here at this meal, giving thanks at a horrible time. For him personally, it's a great time for us. He died, and look what we get. We get life. But don't ever forget that in order, we all love talking about resurrection power and that we've got the same power, the Holy Spirit living in us that raised Jesus from the dead, and that's all exciting. Nothing gets raised from the dead without being dead. So you're remembering the Lord's death till he comes. Nowhere does it say here, remember his resurrection till he comes. It says, remember his death. And the thing we get stuck on, which is wonderful, is he was raised from the dead and he's coming again. He's alive. But you know what? He had to die to get raised from the dead. And our lives, that's included in the process for us. Dying to ourselves, taking up our cross daily, that represents death. Remember, you better be thanking him for the death side or you're not going to make it because heaven ain't here yet if you're sitting here breathing. You got some pain, you got some problems, so even partaking of this meal together, we remember that death is a part of the process and that we've got to thank him for the pain like he was having to thank the Father for the pain. What these elements represented in his own life within a matter of hours. He is thanking God within a matter of hours of dying and shedding his blood. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He took the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. You talk about somebody waiting to have a drink. Imagine Jesus. And the scripture says, only the Father knows the day. Man, I can't wait to have another drink with my disciples. The best kind of drink. But I won't touch it till we all do it together. Now, I don't know much about all this stuff, and I can't even imagine it. And I don't know what kind of table it's going to be. But one day, I think we sit down with him, and we raise a cup, and we remember again. And whatever songs get sung in heaven, all hail the power of Jesus' name, whatever it may be. We'll get a chance to thank him in person and drink of this cup and remember again. And he took the bread and he gave thanks again and he broke it. Now imagine breaking that bread, symbolizing his own life, his own body, which is about to be just pummeled. And by the way, if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, the thing that struck me about the portrayal in that movie is he was almost dead before he ever got to the cross. Surviving the beatings is part of the process. They broke him for us. He took the bread and he broke it, symbolizing what would happen. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. And then in this passage, do this in remembrance of me. Do it to remember me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. A new deal was made with his own blood. If you go over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's look at that. Similar description here, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. In verse 25, he says the same thing. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. And then look at verse 26, what Paul adds. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, again, we're not minimizing the resurrection, but somebody died for you. Jesus died so you could get a life, an abundant life, an eternal life. And he said, every time you do this together, you are declaring that Jesus died. You proclaim his death until he comes. So part of this process, and whether it's for some people, it's every week. For some people, it's every day. They go to Mass or something every day, and it's a whole other meaning there. Usually they're literally trying to get Jesus back in them for the day. My understanding of the scripture is that when Jesus comes in, you're born again. When he comes to live in you, he's not coming and going, he stays. You cannot digest Jesus out of your body. He comes to live inside of you and stay with you. But when we stop and partake of this meal together, what we're doing is remembering what it took to get him in us and what it took to have this relationship with God the Father. When he says here, do it in remembrance of me, the word remember here is a word anamnesis. And where you hear the word amnesia in there, we have amnesia when it comes to this. We forget, just keep moving like it never happened. And it means a remembering, a recollection. I've tried to think of a few things in this regard about remembering. If somebody you know is going to have surgery and you see that it, you know, December 29th, somebody's having surgery, a pretty serious surgery. And on December 29th, if you know that's coming and you make a phone call the night before or you show up at the hospital, what are they going to say? Thanks for remembering. It means something to people. Birthdays. I think birthdays are a big deal. Somebody calls you on your birthday. Wow. Thanks for remembering. One of the toughest ones is the death of a loved one, and an anniversary comes along. Your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister. And every year, somehow, you remember, and you call the person and say, you know what? I'm not trying to dig up the past. But somehow I thought of you today, and I remember 10 years ago today, there's somebody in our family that on Thanksgiving Day, a husband died on Thanksgiving Day. And every Thanksgiving, it is impossible. Here I am. I don't even know the people that well, but I remember that that day is tough for her. And she's in a nursing home now, but you know what? Thanksgiving comes, and it's a great day of Thanksgiving, but for her, it's a tougher day because literally on Thanksgiving Day, her husband died. Promise me you'll always remember. You're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think. That's what Christopher Robin said to Pooh. Tupac Shakur said this, I know it seems hard sometimes, but remember one thing. Through every dark night, there's a bright day after that. So no matter how hard it gets, stick your chest out, keep your head up, and handle it. What he told people to remember. Marshall Field, the big department store owner. These are things he said to remember. The worth of character, the improvement of talent, the influence of example, the joy of origination, the dignity of simplicity, and the success of perseverance. Those were tenets. Those were things that he told his employees and his people to remember. If you've ever seen or listened to the musical The Phantom of the Opera, the song Christine, and the Phantom sang, think of me fondly when we've said goodbye. Remember me once in a while. Please promise me you'll try. When you find that once again you long to take your heart back and be free, if you ever find a moment, spare a thought for me. And I love the way music sometimes, what the writer intended, I can take and sanctify and sing along and say, Lord, this isn't to Christine, this is to you. An old proverb says, the heart that truly loves never forgets. In Exodus chapter 13, let me just read this to you. And Moses said to the people in verse 3, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. He told them to remember. And it's fascinating, over 150 times the word remember in the scriptures, and it's a lot of the times, God, through the prophets, through his messenger, saying, remember. Remember what God did. And God remembering his covenant with us, even when we don't remember him. I do want to take just a second and take you to Psalm 103. And I don't know if you feel comfortable underlining things in your Bible, but this would be a great one to underline. This would be a great one to read frequently, if not memorize. Psalm 103, listen to this, a psalm of David, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Now, what are some of the benefits to being a Christian? Some of the stuff you need to remember. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? You say, well, no, he didn't heal my disease. I had medicine. And where do you think they got that medicine? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. For as a man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. All his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And don't forget his benefits.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you, too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Every time we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you can almost hear Jesus saying, thanks for remembering. And one of the best ways to never forget is to use thanks for remembering. There is something about with individual people, your mom, your dad, anybody in your life, if you'll just stop long enough to thank them for who they are and what they've done, you'll be amazed at what you start to remember. Thanks has a way of triggering memory. And it is especially true of God. You think you're having a bad day and nothing's going right? I'll tell you some place to start. I thank you for waking me up this morning. And I'm awake and I got life and I got breath and I got enough health to be standing here talking. And I thank you because I remember that I got no life without you. that I was all by myself in the world. And if I had died by myself, it had been hell for sure. I thank you for dying on that cross, for shedding your blood, for being buried, raised from dead. Let me tell you something. Your day's going to get better in a matter of seconds. Because no matter what bad is going on, there's nothing like thanks for remembering what he's done and who he is.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.